You look out there where they cleaned up them flower beds in the front. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you tonight. So thankful for the opportunity to come together. And if nothing else, when we do this, whether it be in the parking lot, whether it be here inside the service of the sanctuary, or if it's on Facebook, what we're doing is we're setting apart a time to make much of Jesus. And I pray that's the heart you've come together with us tonight. Thomas Village is glad to be with you. Glad that you've allowed us to come into your lives and to be a part of your spiritual growth and worship. And we do want to let you know that if you don't remember anything else about this service tonight, that remember, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, no one will do anything more. He wants to do so great a works in your life that it would blow your mind. It blows my mind that he loves me. He's already done so much. Loves me so much that he died on the cross for me. And not just me, but whosoever tonight will call upon his name. Tonight we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. Going to do our best not to keep you long tonight. I know that this beautiful weather out there, and during the daytime it's hot, and many of you work through the day and can't do much around your house, but we've got these extra hours, so I'm going to do my best to get you out of here. But I want to open up my word of prayer, and then we'll sing us a song, and we'll go through our prayer needs before we get in our Bible study, which will be Proverbs chapter 4. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful love, all your grace, all your mercy, all your protection, all your provision. God, you're just so good to us. And we come together in the name of Jesus tonight. We know there's some in the parking lot. There's some watching by Facebook, and others, Heavenly Father, Lord, may be listening through many different means. But God, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit be with me. Forgive me of my sins where I failed you. And God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into our singing, I just want to let you know that we have the FM transmitter has come in and it's hooked up now, meaning that you can really sit in any parking lot that we have, the front or the back parking lot, and you can hear the services, meaning that no longer do you have to trust that the pastor is going to be short-winded. You can cut your car on, roll the windows up, and get it as cold or as hot as you want it to. And with that being so, we're going to start having services, drive-in services on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. And if anybody shows up on Wednesday night, all we really have to do is flick a switch, and we're able to do that as well. So we're thankful for that, and we're going to, again, it's not just about, remember the Bible says we're not to forsake ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And no matter what you believe in, what's going on, we're closer today to the rapture than we were yesterday. And so you can come to the parking lot, you can distance yourself as much as you want to, or as little as you want to. So you come, and now we do expect you to be concerned over others' needs and put them before yourselves before you give them a kiss on the face or anything like that, okay? But tonight we're going to be singing an old hymn. The music for this hymn goes all the way back to the mid-1800s, and so do the words. And so it's the name of it is Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. If you do have the Baptist hymnal, it's on page 185. Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, he, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior, hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength in weakness, let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He my strength, my victory wins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempests still are high. Storms about me night o'ertakes me, He, my pilot, hears my cry. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, I do now receive Thee more than all. In Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Amen. Ain't it good to know tonight that Jesus is a friend of sinners? And I kindly think, along with the Apostle Paul, as Paul says, the chief of sinners am I. And I know that I don't deserve most, any really, of the blessings that He's given me. But thank God, I am His and He is mine, as the song says. Again, praise report. We are thankful for everyone that's tuning in with us. Thankful for all the views that we've had this week on Facebook. Also, we've had two different donations to the church. One specifically I'll go into. We've had a $500 contribution to our WANA and our Bible Verse-a-thon. And so God is amazing, and we're thankful for all of you that are, whether you give online, whether you come and give. We have the red bucket right now, trying to keep the spread of germs down, but God is working through you, and also the power of the Holy Spirit that we sense around this place. And it's not the building, it's not the grounds, but it's the people that God has brought together, those who love Him because He first loved us. As we go to our prayer needs tonight, I want to remind you that if you do have any prayer needs and you're watching by Facebook or some other means, if you would just post that on the our Thomas Village page, and we'll do our best to make sure. If we don't get to call them out, which there's some things going on, some people working right now, and so we'll make sure that they do get on the prayer list. So just put those names or the, whatever those needs, even if it's an unspoken. And Brother Ken or myself will make sure that we get it. And I do try to check the Facebook feeds and our shares after every service. So if there is a need that I need to deal with that you'd like to talk with me about, if you would just let that be made known. In the way of prayer needs tonight, number one and always, we want to remember those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Today is the day of salvation, is what the Bible says. And we also know that no man comes unless he's called. And so right now, We just pray that God calls sinners. And remember, He's a friend to sinners. Jesus loves sinners. And so, praise God, He is still saving them tonight. We want to pray for the backslidden, marriages, the depressed. We want to continue to lift up Brother Tommy and Sister Alma Mullins. Got good news from them today. They are feeling better. They're still a little weak, a little run down, but they've been, I think last night, the doors have been opened again. They've come through their time of separation, so we give God the praise for that. Dealing with the sickness, they've moved through that. I want to pray for Riley Clements. This is a friend of mine and Amy's. His mother and father are very close friends, and Riley's in, or was, last I heard, in Atlanta dealing with some infections, and we want to continue to pray there. Miss Vicki Haley, many of y'all know, she comes with us. She had hernia surgery today, last I saw, and yes, Miss Vicki, Amy did show me a picture of you. She was looking very good, and hopefully you're going to be able to come home. Miss Judy Owens, I've not had any updates on her. They were trying to remove some of the medical devices yesterday. I'm not sure if they were able to. I want to pray for Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Pauline Weiniger, Johnny Johnson, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Sister Jeanette, Brother Kent Smith, Kaylee Roberts, Linda Jordan, Brenda Brown, Lynn Mullins, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Nolan Hensley. He's been moved to Kingsport for some rehab, and then, as it said on Facebook, next step home. So we give God the praise for that. Mr. Eddie Hood, he was able to come home as well. Jill Dysart, Merle Edwards, Wilma and Don Daniels, Cleveland Sexton, Gina Franks, Mary Snodgrass, Sheila Stanley, J.C., Derek Osborne and their babies, the triplets. Cindy Osborne got a good report today from the doctor. We're thankful for that. Sister Catherine Ward, Sister Faye Hill, Miss Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Hazel Stanley, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis Bledsoe, Miss Liza Fletcher, Miss Henrietta Roach, Mr. Bobby and Miss June Jesse, Miss Margaret and Brother Chet Wheeler, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, David Starnes, and Jenny Clubbery. I may have probably didn't say that right, but the Lord knows who, and Sister Pansy, I tried, okay? And I know you probably have many prayer needs that you have as well. And if you would, just turn them over to the Lord. You may have to turn them over again in another 15 minutes, but praise God, He's there to take them off our hands. It's us who picks them back up. And so right now, we're just going to have a few moments silence, and then I'll lead us in prayer over these needs, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, I do come to you tonight thanking you and praising you for who you are. God, I'm thankful for your mercy, your grace, your love. I'm thankful for your forgiveness. I'm thankful, Lord, that your spirit is ever abiding in us, that you have hold on to us, those of you, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord, that it's not our salvation was not about anything we did, nor is the security of our salvation about anything that we've done. But it's all because of Jesus, and it's in His name and by His grace and mercy that we come to you tonight. And God, our number one heart and burden is that the lost around us, those that are dying and going to hell, Lord, some are confused, others are deceived, others seem to not care, even though they may know some of the truth. But God, tonight, I pray that you, through the Spirit and by the Word, wipe the veil from their eyes, take the plugs out of their ears, so that they'll be able to hear and see the truth as you call them unto salvation. And God, I pray that today be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for other churches tonight. God, as we're dealing with this now, this corona epidemic, pandemic coming to where we live, coming close to our own households, Lord, I just pray that you provide peace. I pray you provide wisdom. We thank you for the good reports that we've had from our members, Lord, on the front. And God, we're thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are the great physician. And so, Lord, there's these other needs that we have tonight as we think of many, Lord. We think of Brother Kent, and we pray for him. We pray, thank you for the good news of Brother Nolan and Brother Eddie Hood. God, we're thankful that they're home. God, we're thankful for the good news that Cindy Osborne got today. And Lord, there's many others, Lord, that we can praise you for. But Lord, there's others in this other realm that they need physical touch, Lord. They need health. They need your physician's hand of healing, Heavenly Father, Lord. But let us be reminded that what we are and where we're at is all temporal. And God, that there's coming another world, there's coming another life, and there's only two destinations, and that is heaven or hell. And so tonight, let us be determined that we are on the right path. We are in the right group. Lord, we're standing with Jesus Christ, and it's in His name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, tonight we're going to be studying, and as I said, I'm not going to do my best not to keep you long tonight, but I do want to try to get through this passage. Some of it is going to be some that we've already studied, and we'll be moving into new things as we move on ahead. But if we've already kind of hit some of it, then I'm just going to briefly go over that, okay? And then we'll move on into something else. But this tonight's lesson, the latter portion of this passage in Proverbs 4, ties in to Sunday morning's message in a manner that I couldn't have put it together if I'd have tried. And it just lets me know that God is a God of order and a God of structure. So let's read tonight out of the King James, and then we'll go through the English, the Christian Standard for the rest of the night. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give unto you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ointment of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in the path, in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Pass not by it, turn away from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let not thine eyelids look straight, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And may God add the blessings to His scriptures. Now, a proverb, remember, it's a short and concise statement, but it usually and generally provides advice or wise ways to live in. Now that we've studied the past few chapters, 1, 2, and 3, we've seen that Proverbs can come in many forms. They can come in paragraphs, they can come in one or two sentences, or they can come in just a short phrase, a bullet point phrase. And tonight we have kind of a mixture. We have some type, almost like bullet points there in verses 18 and 19, but then we also have paragraph forms there in verses 1 through 9 and 20 through 27. Now, I want us to go over our definitions, because if you look, and in the King James, it says that the word wisdom is used a total of 4 times, and the term understanding is used the word 3 times. And remember, we said that wisdom literature, because of the topics and because of the way it's written, sometimes it can be difficult to understand or to interpret. And so when we talk about knowledge, we're talking about the awareness and the retaining of fundamental truth, specifically as it pertains to God, His ways, His instructions, and what He deems as proper and improper. Then when we talk about understanding is the ability to take that knowledge that we have attained, to take that awareness we have been found, and to apply it to our lives and to live in accord with the knowledge that is right. And you take the knowledge, what we've retained, and you take the understanding, which is the application of knowledge, put those together, and we end up with what? We end up with wisdom. And so that's what the whole study in Proverbs is about. And again, believe you me, I believe that one of the most worst things that's going on right now in America is that we have lost common sense. And so as we look in this scripture, we're just trying to find out what is right, what is wise, what are the right ways to act in the midst of a fallen world. Now, if you remember, when we first started talking about the Proverbs, and remember who it's written by, most of them are either directly written by or quoted, copied down by Solomon, King Solomon, who is the son of David. And 2 Kings and other books tell us that he's the wisest to have ever been. And we break down his writings into 3 main categories. The first is general wisdom, or overall truth, that will help us in our day-to-day life. Then there is the insight to rulers or leaders or business heads as the pertains to how they lead and govern the things that's underneath them. And then there is the parental and children wisdom, where the parent or the grandparent is discussing what is wise for the children to follow through with, or it's teaching the children how to respect their elders and things like that. And so tonight what we'll see is that basically this is kind of a mesh between two. It begins as the parental type wisdom and moves into a general type wisdom. We have about 5 basic groups here. You can break down Proverbs 4 into 5 basic groups. And verses 1 through 9 would be the first group. This is the father's example. We see that the father is laying out an example for his child. Then in verses 10 through 13, again, the father is speaking to the child, but his purpose is for them to allow wisdom to be their guide. Then we move on into verses 14 through 17, and what we see here, and this is how it ties back into our lesson on Sunday morning, is basically 2 paths are laid out here. And the first one we see there in verses 14 through 17. The second one is kindly laid out or contrasted in verses 18 through 19, and then in verses chapter 4, verses 20 through 27, we see the plea from the father for the child to follow in the straight path or in the right path. So, again, in an effort to build on the lesson, I want us to focus on tonight, probably from verses 14 and following after that, because what we're going to see there is, in the first ones, it's kindly what we've already went through. So let's look at the father's example first in verses 1 through 9. Listen, son, to a father's discipline and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. And again, remember, we were told last week not to despise the discipline of our father, because whom the father loves, he chastens. Somebody that really loves their child is going to do their best to keep their children out of the improper way or going the wrong direction. And he says, not only don't receive the correction of your father, but at the same time, pay attention to your father, because in that you will learn how to apply knowledge in your life. That is the word understanding. That's the desire of the father. In verse 2, he says, I am giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teachings. The word good there means of value, of worth, and it also means moral, beautiful, that it's prosperous. What he has given is prosperous teachings or prosperous instructions or guidance so that his life will be blessed. When I was a son with my father, fragile and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, your heart must hold on to my word. Now again, we're going to come back to this term heart, but it continues to be brought up in our study. The central command center of our human intellect and emotion. Notice what he says. He says, if we're going, his daddy taught him that he must hold on to the word with his inner command center. Keep my commandments and live. So listen, he's saying this. Now think about it. We've got Solomon, and then Solomon wrote this. This would be David telling Solomon, my father told me. He's saying that Jesse told David, and now David is telling Solomon. So what we see is that this is a proven way of life. It's a proven way to be blessed. Those that have, the generations that have lived before us, the generations that have fought battles we've not fought yet, we need to understand that they're wise. They've been through these things. And this has been passed down from at least Jesse to David to Solomon. And the same is true for us today. Look in verse 5. He says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not abandon wisdom, for she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. Notice, he's talking about her as a female, and how that almost to the effect that it is David or Solomon's job, or us who the readers, it is our duty not only to find wisdom, not only to gain understanding, but once we get it, then we're to defend her. We're to grab hold and protect her so that she cannot be taken from us. Notice he says that if we don't abandon wisdom and we watch over wisdom, then she will love us, meaning that she will find favor. Wisdom will bring favor to us. Also, it will guard us. When we do what is right, when we do what is wise, then in those paths we find protection. Notice in verse 7, wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. Now, again, he's beating on to him. He's saying, hey, and think about what we've studied before. He said, go out and find gold. Nope. He said, go out and treasure silver. No, he says, you need to perceive wisdom and knowledge and understanding like it's gold. You need to covet for it as it's silver. You need to esteem it as it's something of great worth. And notice here in verse 7, he says, and whatever else you get understanding. Verse 8, cherish her. Cherish. I mean, that is a word between a husband and a wife, or a boyfriend to a girlfriend, one lover to another lover, meaning that we are to hold them dear, and that we're to nurture them, do what it is, so whatever it takes for them to be able to grow and to be everything that they could be, that's the way that we're to look at wisdom. And again, we see what will happen if we hold on to wisdom, if we cherish wisdom, if we watch out for wisdom. In verse 8 at the end, it says, and she will exalt you, she will lift you up. If you embrace her, she will honor you. Meaning that she will put you in a place of respect. Now, does that mean by everybody? No. Does that mean you're going to be a rich person? No. But a wise man is known by others. A wise woman is respected by those around her. And then last here in verse 9, it says, she will place garland of favor on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty. Wisdom, again, wisdom brings value, worth, protection. I mean, being wise, everything else. You know what? If you're foolish, let's say that you're rich and you've got all the money that you'll ever need. You know what? If you're foolish, that money ain't going to do you much good, because you're going to about lose it all before long. And that's proven. You can look at the lotteries, my lottery horror story and all that stuff. But if you start out with nothing but you're wise, then you can attain, or maybe not great wealth, but it'll bring it. You see, the Father is saying here, if you do anything, if you hear anything from me, go after wisdom, grab hold of wisdom. He is pointing to wisdom. And then he goes on. See, he's already let us know that wisdom will be our protection. It will guard us. It will elevate us. It will cause us to be respected by others. It will cause us to have honor, which we wouldn't have in any other way. But now he points to, in verses 10 through 13, he points to the fact that wisdom can be your guide as well. It can guide you in the right places. Look there in verses 10 through 7. Again, he's addressing the son, the parental, to the children again. Listen, my son, accept my words and live many years. I am teaching you the way of wisdom. I am guiding you onto straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it with your life. Again, we see that once we find true wisdom, and that's what Scripture is, through the understanding of the Holy Spirit, this is true wisdom. And once we get it, we're to hold fast to it. We're not to treat it flippantly. We're not to use it today and then choose not to use it tomorrow. It is to be something that we let our life, the living out of our life, to be seen by walking in wisdom, by walking in truth and understanding. Now, we come down to these last verses 14 through verses 27. And basically what we see here is, you remember, we talked about Sunday morning how that in this world, in our society, there are so many dividing points right now. There are so many things to separate us in the American society, Democrat or Republican, standing or kneeling in the national anthem, mask or no mask, is it protesting or is it rioting? Do we need more police or less police? Do we need to tear down statues? Do we need to build new statues? See, we've got all those different things. And all those things, like I said Sunday, I believe 100% that all those things are just distractions. And they're keeping us, number one, from focusing on the fact that we need to be right with God. But number two, it is leading people to hell. The Bible teaches us in many places that in the end, there's only going to be two groups that matter. Right now, we've got Antifa, we've got blah, blah, and what else? I mean, there's so many different groups and all this. Look, right here, Jesus said you're either a weed or a tare. And right here, look what the Proverbs writer says. He says that basically there's only two paths. There's only two ways, and it has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with anything that's going on in our country, except for the right way, or the righteous way, which is God's way, or the wicked way, which is the way of death. Look there in verses 14 through 17. He says, keep off the path of the wicked. Do not proceed on the way of the evil ones. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass by it, for they cannot sleep unless they have done some type of evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I mean, let's just look at the riots that's been going on. What's funny is people wait until the sun goes down, and then they come out with their faces covered up, their hoodies on, and different things like that. Why? Because it's in the dark way, in without light, and they're looting and destroying and doing all that. And see, that's the physical example of what we're being told here spiritually, that this is a dark way, it's a wicked way. And notice it says, and we're seeing this more and more literally played out, not just spiritually or hyperbole. Notice it just says straight out that they are robbed of sleep unless they've done some sort of evil, unless they've caused somebody to stumble. That's one way. Many people are choosing to go that way in America right now. And hey, I've been told that it's even been happening up in close around us. And you know, it's not just about the rioting, and it's not just about that. No, this is a lifestyle that is to fulfill self and to do make self come out better. But then there is the other way, the second of two ways. Proverbs 18 and 19, keep off the path of the wicked. Do not proceed on the way of the evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass by it. Now, that's the same thing I just read, wasn't it? Hold on, Liz. I think I missed a verse here. Let me go back to the beginning here. Yeah, I went. I think I did. Yeah, let's look. Verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. See, there he's saying that not only if we walk in wisdom do we be able to see, well, we'll be able to see where God would have us to go, but also we'll be able to help others come in the right way. In verse 19, he says, but the way of the wicked is as dark as gloom. They do not know what causes them to stumble. And then in verses 20 through 27, he kindly begins, the end wraps up this portion as he started it. He says, my son, pay attention to my words and listen closely to my saying. Don't lose sight of them. Look here. Keep them within your heart. Take the truth that I've given you, the wisdom that I've provided, and put them in your center control center, the central control of your being. For they are life to those who find them. They are health to one's whole body. Look here, 23. Guard your hearts above all else, for out of the heart flows life. And either we're going to allow truth and wisdom to filter out our emotions and our human logic and our human reasoning, or either we're going to let it be filtered through the Word of God. It's either going to come straight from our what we want for ourselves, how we feel, what we think, or either it's going to come from the wisdom of the Bible, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit flowing through that. That's why he says, guard your heart. Do not let your mouth speak dishonestly. Don't let your lips speak divisively. You know that a big lie and a white lie are both lies. And when people catch you saying, maybe you've not told no whoppers, but maybe you've told things that make the story better. If you do that too much, people's going to get to the point to where they don't believe that much you say, or at least they'll second guess it. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left, but keep your feet from evil. I was looking at something today, and it just stood out to me. And it said something that was going on. I don't know if it was the burning of the flag or if it was the pulling down of a statue, but basically it said it was sin, sin, sin to do that. I got to say, I don't like to see the flag burned. I don't like to see the statues pulled down. But you know what? That's not sin. Sin is an affront to our Creator. And we so many times in America get Christianity mixed in with our nationality. But folks, if we know Jesus Christ, we are to be identified, number one, as a Christian who happens to be an American. Notice, and I thought this was neat, do not turn to the right or the left. You know, I heard the old saying about politics a few years ago, right wing or left wing is still the same bird. Right wing or left wing, it's still the same bird. He says, keep your look what he says, keep your focus straight ahead. That means we're to focus on the Lord, not on what the Democrats are doing, not on what the Republicans are doing, what they want us to do. We focus on Jesus and we do what He wants us to do and live for Him. And whatever side that falls on, so be it. We're Jesus and then whatever else comes from that. All right, I pray you've got something from the night. If nothing else, I pray you've been encouraged. And again, remember, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. And God willing, we'll see you Sunday morning. And remember, we have the FM transmitter now, so you come and be a part of us. And Brother Ken better get back in here so he can cut off this machine, all right? God bless you. I love you. We'll see you later.